You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It is Property Tuesday, and we are taking a look at protecting property transactions this week with the growing rate and the growing threat of cyber criminals and cyber attacks. When you do property transactions, especially transactions of a large size, the last thing you want is to be the victim of a cybercrime. I'm joined on the line by the head of Buyers Trust, Jackie Smith, to take a look at this and see what we make of it. Jackie, lovely to have you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. I imagine with the property transactions that take place in any market, not just in South Africa, there are threats to transactions, there are threats towards the deals going ahead. But in 2025, I suppose cyber threats are even bigger at this point.
Hi, Jimmy. Yes, absolutely correct. If you had a look at Interpol's recent stats that they've published, it showed that South Africa now ranks as the second most targeted country in Africa for cybercrime, and this is behind Egypt. So 100% we've seen a significant increase in cyber threat and cyber fraud, and specifically around the property industry. The reason for this being that obviously it is an industry where there's a high value exchange happening, and that is what cyber criminals are interested in.
Jackie, how do these threats manifest themselves? Because I think about a property transaction and I'm dealing with an estate agent, I'm also then dealing with attorneys. Yes, there are a couple of people in the process, but how do these threats start to pop up, and how can property buyers potentially identify them?
That's a great question. So if you look at what was published by Uber Home Loans recently in the Uberometer, it showed that there was an average property price increase, right, of 3.9% year on year. So the average purchase price is now sitting on about 1.7 million. So what's happening is that is an indication that the activity in the market has increased. So there's more attorneys, there's more real estate agents, and absolutely wonderful for the market that you've seen the activity increase. But what has happened in that process is that you've got the cyber criminals being more alert for keywords here. They are looking out for the sale of a property, a deposit, the transfer of money. And that is what has highlighted some concerns for us in the industry. Because of the renewed activity, we've seen an alarming amount of attacks specifically around email correspondence. And it's created this opportunity for them to attack attorneys and real estate agents who maybe don't have the necessary protection for their systems that can combat these cyber criminals.
So initially, I would have thought they would be targeting the buyers, but it seems they could also be impersonating legitimate players in the space like the real estate agents. So then how do we protect ourselves if that is the case, Jackie? Because that sounds like a serious problem if we're not able to discern whether or not this is a legitimate communication or not.
So they are definitely attacking firms, without a doubt. We've seen this in the industry, but they are targeting home buyers too, Jimmy, because, you know, with COVID, we've become so complacent in terms of how we communicate. We easily just press reply on an email from a sender. We don't necessarily check the email address to see whether, you know, is it jimmy@xproperties.co.za@gmail.com. Not that there's anything wrong with Gmail accounts, but ordinarily, we've just become so complacent to press reply. So what we tell buyers is that before you do anything, you always have to make sure that you verify the payment details independently. So always verify your payment details independently. Don't just react to an urgent email. Make sure that the email correspondence agrees with the property address, that you're dealing with the legitimate people. And also use secure devices and networks. don't sit in the cafe or at the airport and then decide to make a huge transfer into someone's account that you haven't verified. And like I said earlier, you've got to check the authenticity of the email address. Make sure that you're not dealing with a Gmail account if it is a legitimate firm. And then try and use businesses that has been verified or that are authorized dealers to be, for you to deal or that can actually keep and protect you against the cybercrime.
I think one easy thing from my side, if I remember correctly, was just picking up the phone and phoning the attorneys themselves and just confirming with the attorneys if that is the case. But Jackie, I want to get your thoughts around the transfer itself. From my understanding, and I stand to be corrected here, all funds for transactions, for property purchases, have to go sit in an attorney's trust account. So an immediate red flag for me is if the funds don't end up in a trust account, surely that's a problem.
That is what the attorneys would say to you must be done. But as a home buyer, you have choice. Ultimately, what you need to do is to show them that you are good for the cash, right? So if you're buying a property cash or whether you're putting down a deposit, you have to prove that you have got the money to purchase that property. And that proof can come in the form of a guarantee. It doesn't necessarily mean that the money has to sit in their bank account. You can issue them with the bank guarantee, which is what companies like ours, Buyers Trust, does on your behalf. One, you can hold the money in your own name, and we will then assist you to issue a bank guarantee against that money. You cannot be forced as a home buyer to place that money with the attorney. You need to know that you have a choice and you can issue them with the bank guarantee.
See, that is very useful information. Jackie, before I let you go, I want to take a look at the online signatures. We live in a world where contracts are entered into via digital signatures on a daily basis. Is this an area of weakness where it comes to the property transactions? Is it an area that could potentially provide security for a buyer if they know more about it?
So it could be both. One, in a property transaction, normally the estate agent would be sitting with the buyer and with the seller. So you'll find that they require a wet signature, which means that you have to get it signed in person. So I would advocate, or we would advocate, that when you are buying a property, that you make sure that you rather sign it in person with the estate agent or with the attorney, and also that the seller does that. But there's going to be instances where a document might be required to be emailed to you and they require you to do a digital signature. Make sure again that you are able to verify the business that has sent it to you for signature or electronic signature, and make sure that you, before you press that submit button, have checked out that the company that they have used to process the digital signature on is a legit company.
Do your homework, folks, and get the necessary verifications and comfort before you fall victim to cyber crimes, because those are definitely on the rise. I think we'll leave the conversation on that note. Thank you so much to the head of Buyers Trust, Jackie Smith, for joining us to take a look at protecting your property transaction from cyber criminals.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.